I got 15 minutes for my sermon today and 3 pages of notes, so bear with me. If you did notice, there is no handout this morning, and that's just because it is a quicker sermon, and I'd rather you be listening rather than trying to write everything down very, very, very quickly. Today we're going to be talking about the fig tree that Jesus wanted to eat from so badly. This was a question that was raised to me a couple weeks ago at this point, and something that has stuck with me, and I've thought about often, about this fig tree, about what Jesus does to this fig tree. Starting off in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, it says, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. So the question that comes up is, well, just because the fig tree was in leaf, why then would Jesus expect to find fruit on it? And especially knowing that it wasn't the season for figs to be on the tree. Well, to understand that, we need to take a step back. And to understand something that is different for us. As Washingtonians, one thing that we know, and we know very well, is apple trees. You go east of the mountains, and what do you see? Just groves and groves of apple trees. Well, apple trees are normal trees. What they do is they are dormant during the winter. During the spring, they start getting their buds back, and then they start leafing. And then in the summer, they start to really produce fruit, and it's in autumn and fall, the leaves begin to fall off and they have fruit to bear. And you can go out to apple orchards and you can pick them for yourself and make a day of it. And it's fun. That's not what fig trees do. Fig trees, in fact, they have their roots deep in the ground. And they get a lot of their nutrients not from photosynthesis like other trees do, which require the leaves to be on the tree, but they get their nutrients from the ground that's around them. And what's interesting about figs is fig trees get their fruit before their leaf. So oftentimes what would happen is they begin to produce fruit, and then they start producing leaves. And this is actually what happens is the fig tree has 2 different times where they produce fruit. They produce early fruit and they produce late fruit. And what happens is Jesus is walking by. He sees this fig tree. He sees that it's good, that it has its leaves, that it should be bearing fruit. And he goes to the fig tree and he finds nothing. Now the question is, well, why was there nothing? It could be that, oh, a farmer came by and harvested all the figs. The issue with that is you can tell when a tree has been picked. You can tell when its fruit has been removed off of its branches. But Jesus instead, he found a tree that is looking good and is not producing any fruit. And so what does Jesus say? He says, "No one ever will eat your fruit again." Fast forward to the next morning as they are passing by in the morning. They saw the fig tree withered from its roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. As we talked about last week, God expects growth. God expects us to grow and to be producing good, adequate, stable fruit. And Jesus talks about other places where he says, if God's the pruner, God looks at the vine and he sees what is being produced, and if you're not producing any fruit, if a vine of grapes isn't producing any fruit, the farmer comes along and he cuts it off, throws it away. Why? Because it's taking nutrients that it's not using from the rest of the vine. And Jesus says God does that for us. If we're not producing good fruit, he cuts us off and he sends us to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. God expects us to grow. He expects us to produce good fruit. And it's interesting that when his disciples ask him, and Peter specifically said, look at the fruit tree, or fig tree. Look what happened. It's withered. Jesus' first comment is, have faith in God. When we talk about producing good fruit, the first thing that we tend to think about is, well, okay, giving back to others, or doing nice things, doing kind things, being there for people, making sure that we're living and letting that light shine within us. The first fruit that we need to produce is our faith in God. As Fletcher read for us this morning, the fruits of the Spirit, one of those fruits is faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful to him. And when we're faithful to him, we're producing that good fruit of faithfulness. And he goes on to say, if you ask, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Jesus says you can ask for mountains to be moved, and if you do not doubt, if you do not have that wavering spirit that so many of us have and experience, it can happen. Now, this isn't a literal mountain. We can't go up to Mount Rainier and say, hey, lift up and cast into the ocean. It doesn't happen that way. But those mountains in life that we experience, those mountains that are difficult to get over, what's the first thing that we need to do? First, we need to have faith and trust in God. And that when we start to climb that mountain and we start to ask for help to get over those mountains of life, God is faithful to answer as we trust in him. And that mountain that is so large in front of us, as we trust in him, will be moved. It's a good thing to produce good fruit. Not the world that surrounds us is not pleasing to God. There's no way that you can look out at the world and see how it's celebrating sin, how it's treating sin, and it's encouraging sin, and all this sin is running rampant throughout the world, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. That is not pleasing to God. But for us, we are to be pleasing to God, producing good, solid fruit. And the funny thing is, when we start producing that fruit, the world takes notice. And the world, even though they will be against us, will encourage us to continue to produce that good fruit. Why? Because it benefits them. As long as you don't preach Jesus, they're happy that you are producing that good fruit. But you know that we need to also be preaching Jesus along with producing good, solid fruit. Jesus says, God says, whatever you do, do to please me. Whatever it is that you have set off to do, whatever it is that you want to do in this life, do it to please God, not to please man. Because man will let you down. Because man will find the next thing that pleases them. But God, he will be pleased by the fruits that you produce in everything. So I encourage you now to produce good, solid fruit for God. To stay focused on him. To be faithful to him. Just as we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, as Fletcher read for us this morning. To produce those fruit. And if you feel like you're not meeting one of those fruit, if you're not producing one of those fruits in your life, we have opportunities to help you with that, to make sure that you are, to teach you what it means to produce all these good fruits for God. And it starts with having faith in him. So now I'm going to ask, since I'm right at time, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, if you're ready, you're willing, you're able to, you know what it means to become a Christian, today's the perfect day to do so. Or if you have any other spiritual needs that you need prayer for, please come forward as we stand and we sing 906, All Things Are Ready.